Welcome back. So we're going to the second big reason to come to the WorldInternetMainEvent.com this September 13th through the 16th in San Francisco, California. Take us away, Dave.
Okay. So I like this a lot. There's one thing I don't like about Stephen Pierce's. I mean, it's an awesome bio. It's good copy.
Yes.
Stephen has several books in print. I know because
yes.
I'm very close with his publisher. I don't see the titles of the books in here.
Oh, okay.
And he, you know, he's a published author. I mean, from him being a gang member to a respected internet marketer and a consultant to Fortune 500 companies in the military is an awesome achievement.
Mm-hmm.
It would
awesome
be
author.
Even more impressive. I mean, you know, from the streets of D.C. getting shot at to being a published author.
Right.
You know, and you know, I mean, his Stephen's story, it's going to blow people away no matter how, which part of it you tell. But
sure,
I would add that.
Well, thank you for that. That's that isn't even a point that would have occurred to me. So interesting.
Okay. I mean, you know, I've often, and you know, in your defense, and I'm pushing as hard as I can to make this better. But in your defense, I've often said, you know, pilots have a checklist.
Yes.
Copywriters and marketers have a checklist. The problem is there's no end to the one for the copywriters and marketers.
Ah, yes.
It just keeps going on and on. But that's the one thing. And it's just because I happen to know that about Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Robert Allen, wow. The one thing is awesome. I mean, and it's great that we're having him there. I mean, it's incredible. The one thing I would say instead of Robert Allen is best-selling real estate author, of all time, I would somewhere in there say New York Times best-selling author.
Oh.
You probably can't say that in the first sentence because it's the best-selling real estate book of all time, but you could say, yeah, five other New York Times best-selling books, including multiple streams of income. That's the phrase that really, but, you know, my goodness, with Good Morning America, Larry King Live, Wall Street Journal, Newsweek, it almost doesn't matter, but I'd still do it.
And can you say for everyone who's listening, you know, what is this this whole third party concept that's achieved by focusing on these?
Well, that's a great question, and that's probably something where I take it for granted a little too much because I was in the media as a reporter and editor, bureau chief at one point. And most people don't really know this, but in our society, we have certain organizations and companies and institutions and types of people and organizations that are authorizers or are certifiers. Now, you know, some of them are, you know, very literal about it. If you're a financial planner, you want to get the association that makes you a certified financial planner.
Right.
Some of them are more subtle. Some of them are things that are shorthand, they're household terms, they're instantly recognizable, they're memes, they're icons. When you look at them, you go, oh wow, oh yeah, well that must mean it's true. Being an author of a book is one of those things. Being a best-selling author is one of those things to another power,
yeah,
or to a tenth power.
Right.
Being a New York Times best-selling author is, you know, the wisdom of the heavens channeled through you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, there's a whole product I'm working on right now on credibility, which
cool.
talks about that, and this is certainly, you know, one of the big, I mean, you know, an easy way, I know I just said a mouthful and people's heads may be swimming. Remember the Good Housekeeping seal of approval?
Sure.
So there's a Good Housekeeping magazine, and consumers are wondering, is this safe to use in my house? And there's the Good Housekeeping seal of approval that says whether it's safe or not. Well, that's, in short, that's what all these different authorizers do. They are the equivalent of a Good Housekeeping seal of approval for speakers, for authorities, for business people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. I made some notes about what you said about me. I
thank you.
I'm trying to find my notes here. I like what you said about me. I thought you did a good job. And you used Mary's picture of me, which I like also.
See, what David is also doing here is gently telling on himself that he didn't give me any of this.
That's right. That's right.
To go searching for it.
Here's the... There are two issues. One is you spell my name two different ways. You spell it mostly the right way, and then there, right at the bottom, you spell it L-A. So that's like a constant source of annoyance in my life.
And that's a big a boo-boo, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
To a person, I'm saying.
Yeah, it is. No one else will care, but it sort of annoys me.
Okay.
The other thing is, you make a claim, which I believe true and which no one has ever successfully challenged, that I'm the world's best copywriting instructor. And the reason I say I don't think I'm the best copywriter is not a subjective thing. It's measurable.
Uh-huh.
I consider the best copywriter the one who has sold the greatest amount of goods with their copy. Now, I've written sales letters that have made millions of dollars, but I haven't written as many and sold as many millions of dollars as some of my friends, even some of the people I've mentored.
Right.
But I feel I'm better teaching it, and everyone else feels that way, too. The problem is we don't have a whole lot of proof of that in there.
Okay.
We certainly show that I know what I'm doing, and I can get small businesses, and I can get giant businesses
right.
to hire me, and I think, you know, given the choice of all the things you could have done, you made some very good choices by showing yeah, I've actually done it. I'm not just teaching it.
Right, right.
So
let me ask you another question. And mm-hmm. and again, this is not so much meant to sound like a justification. But the fact that I'm making a trivial concession here, I'm saying you know, humble David Garfinkel doesn't say he's the best copywriter in the world. In some ways, aren't I already greasing the audience to say, oh, well, this is a guy who keeps it real and keeps it down to earth. He doesn't think he's the greatest. Do I still as strongly need to prove that you're the best teacher at it?
There are two different issues.
Okay.
I mean, one is he a regular guy who you could believe?
Oh,
and secondly, is there a specific reason
gotcha.
To believe, you know, that's the case? I mean, it's sort of like at a murder trial. You know, you can
yeah.
say, well, this guy, you know, he helps old ladies across the street and all, so he seems like a nice guy. But where was he on the night of the murder?
Right.
And does he have an alibi and does he have witnesses? It's two different levels of proof. I spend lots and lots of time thinking about proof, looking for how different people use proof, and I'm not just talking about lawyers and advertisers and scientists. I'm talking about everybody in everyday life. And so, in some ways you are greasing the skids, and you know there. And most people, are, you know, you're probably not going to lose any sales because of this. But if there's someone who really wants to learn copywriting,
yeah.
and they say, "Well, I know what David charges, and the whole price of the seminar is less than an hour of his time,"
yeah.
and I'd like to see him. I wonder, can he really do the job?
Yeah, is he really that best teacher?
Is he really that best? Yeah. These are all marks, but every one of them can count, especially when you have unlimited upside sales potential, like for a digital product.
Right. Exactly. It's certainly worth. And you know, the point is, you gave me that proof. I mean, I can go get it right off of this audio now because you told me about the amazing, you know, the first $1 million day, and the whole thing. So this is awesome.
Well, thanks. So, anyway, I said I wasn't going to hold anything back, and
yeah.
I just proved it again.
Right.
Okay. Now, I really like Matt and Amanda Clark's bio. I don't have anything much to say about that, except you did really, really well. Oh, that's actually one of my more aggressive mentees calling me on my cell phone. I don't think I can turn it off.
Okay, no problem.
More proof.
Yeah.
But it happens to be, I know who's calling. Okay. Keith Wellman. This is a really long ring. Wait till the final swell of the music, and then we'll start with Keith Wellman. Yeah. Okay. I like the fact that he's an underground list building expert.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep the mystery about who he is and what he's done, but I think if you could have a few stats.
Gosh, I don't even have the size of his list here, or the quick.
Or how fast
yeah.
he built it, or what kind of money he's making,
what kind of
joint venture partners he found, you know, what kind of niche he does. I mean, it's really, I have a feeling that this guy is going to be one of the sleepers at the event. People are going to go nuts over him. I just have that feeling. But,
sure.
See, I get feelings about things that other people don't, because
I'm
sort of in the business of being very inferential and just sort of reading the tea leaves. I've done enough detective work on this kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, if I had more of a cop-like personality, I probably would have been a good detective, but I don't, I'm not. But, yeah, so that's, you know, you'd want to spell things out more. You get that, right?
Sure. This is also the power of just having a mentor. Sometimes what I find is, you know, by the way, I'm curious to find out if you're guilty of this too. But ever found somebody that you know you just immediately knew as you listened to them and as you continued to listen to them that this was the person that you needed to learn from? And so maybe you either made an investment in a home study course with them, or possibly even a coaching program,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some, perhaps even all of that package is still in the cellophane
Yeah, not only have I done that, but I've had numerous personal organizers who come to me in horror and say, David, you know you bought three copies of the same book?
Thing. Now, where I wanted to go with this is what's so funny is the power of just making that association is sometimes the critical part, because
mm-hmm.
just your being on this call with me, I can't tell you how many times I've been over the copy, changing this, changing that, looking at this, looking at that. And just having you on the call, I was already shrinking, because I having the association with you, I feel smarter.
Well, thanks.
But it's
okay.
True. You know, I mean, I say that to say it's true. To me, you know, having those educational programs is kind of like a spice rack. You know, I use my saffron a little more rarely than I use my garlic powder.
Sure.
But I feel good knowing that it's on my spice rack.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, good. Thanks. Let's go to Simon's, Simon Leung's. I know Cy. He's a great guy. He actually lives in my part of the world.
Yep.
And I would say of all of the bios here, mm-hmm. his sets the standard. Let me, if anyone wants to look at what makes a really good bio, I mean, I'll sort of walk you through this.
Did you write it?
Huh?
Did you write this by chance?
No, why?
Okay.
Did he give it to you?
So this was provided. So this was provided by Cy, so he gets all the
credit. No, I didn't write. Well, he knows a lot about copy and ads. Or I have a feeling I know who might have written it if he didn't. But no, I think he wrote this because it reads the way he speaks now that you mention it.
Yep.
He's very clear and very logical, good storyteller. But I mean, story in a good sense. It's not like he's making...
No, I understand. Mm-hmm.
Making
yes.
the story up. So I just realized something. I didn't know we would go on this long, and I do have something in 20 minutes, so we're probably going to have to wrap up in about 10.
Okay.
But what Cy did is, okay, there's a story, it has a history, and what he does, it's very interesting, is there are lots of dates, numbers, time frames, specific amounts of money, numbers of clients, but it doesn't read like a spreadsheet. It doesn't read like a cold data report. It reads like a story.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, a year later, he was one of two people to start the AdWords optimization team and instantly became a leading... Da-da-da. Okay, there are numbers in there. You didn't even see them. 1 year,
yeah.
Two people, and hundreds of advertisers and thousands of accounts, and yet it's done in such a way so the numbers make things more specific. And then, you know, he left over $100,000 worth of stock options on the table, but then he made $100,000 in 12 days doing...
By the way, that was my one contribution, those two paragraphs.
Oh, that was good. I really liked that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was really quite good. Let me see if I can make my cell phone shut up so it doesn't keep beeping while we're talking here. Sure, I'll view the call now. How about view later? That would be even better. Okay. all right. So then I like the last line, originally from Hong Kong. See, that's good, too, for your overseas audience is from Hong Kong. So this guy, you know, I know a number of people who are friends who are immigrants from other countries, and you have a disadvantage when you come here. You may, you know, America does give you lots of opportunities, but if you didn't grow up learning all the things, there's extra work. So the fact that he could do it and that he'll be talking to you, that's an inspiration. Let's see. Is there anything else? Well, I'll tell you what. I've gone on for an hour and a half. Why don't you ask me some questions now, or if there are any other questions, because, we've covered a lot, and I do need to save my breath. I have a mentoring call in 15 minutes with one of my, the one who called me, but another one.
No. Let me ask you a couple of those questions. Now,
sure.
Using a few of the things that I learned from you in your courses, I've got captions under the photos. Is that still something that works? Is that still a good idea, and did we do a good use of it in this sales letter?
That's great, and I'm a little further down under the third big reason. Brett McFaul and Mike Filsaime teaching a 450 member audience step by step how to create and run an internet business. That's excellent. You know, I mean, it's excellent because it tells you who the people are, what they're doing, and that, you know, that this is a big group. This is a big event. It's not, you know, somebody's last minute idea and they send out an email.
Yes.
So that's a good caption. Stephen Pierce. Oh yes, I remember when he did that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, in fact, I actually covertly helped his copywriter.
Good.
I think a few subject line, a few words on that. Raised over 100. That's good. That's really nice, and that also shows that there's some concern for the community too. I mean, when you help hungry children, that's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, everything's right about that.
Yeah, everything's right. Exactly.
Now, okay. So good. So it sounds like we're doing that well. And to clarify the second, because I did ask a compound question, which is not always smart. Is this still effective? Is this still important?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, pictures. People, you know, they like to see pictures, but then they like to know what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 99 out of 100 people are going to know who Mike Filsaime is and who Stephen Pierce is, but not everyone. And, you know, if this letter is working well, and trust me, for all of the criticisms I've made, and I stand by every one of them,
I
bet it's working really well. Well, it's sold out. Now, what does sold out mean? Like 500 people, 400 people?
Yeah, it means that we have 500 people plus, yeah.
Okay. That's working really well.
Right.
Yeah. Now, the reason it's working well,
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons, or put it another way, one byproduct of it working really well,
yes.
is the fact that people's emotions, they're flooded.
Yeah.
They are absolutely there are literally hormones, you know, coursing through their brains.
Yeah.
As they read this. And they're excited. They're so excited by all the possibilities of what you are promising them. And yeah, you've done a good job of proving it most of the time. You could detail it here and there, but you've done a good job with that. But it means that their ability to look at a picture and say, "Oh yeah, that's Mike Filsaime," that ability is diminished. So even though you're writing for intelligent people, their brains are not at their best when they're looking at this. You have to assume that they're going to be there. So much of their energy is going to, gosh, when I can do that, what I won't have to do this, or oh my gosh, we can finally pay off that credit card and we'll be able to buy that boat or that second house or that, you know, all those things are going on. So it's not, you know, when you're writing this, you're thinking, what's the best caption I can put in there, and you're 100% focused in your attention on that. You have to remember, and I think you did, but for everyone else on the call, you have to remember they're not necessarily focused that way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Speaking about this concept of focus and knowing we have just a few more minutes together, and I think it's item number four big reason I'm going to ask a double question, a compound question again.
Okay.
Is it still probably a mistake to be writing this effectively in reverse print? I mean, we have all these kind of red boxes.
Great question.
Caps.
Okay, so let's go back to the the knowledge underneath that question, which not everyone may have.
Sure, sure, I know.
Generally speaking, reverse print, that's where you use white print on a colored or a black background, is generally a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
In this case, it's not a bad idea. It's a good idea. And the reason it's good is, first of all, you picked a typeface that's easy to read. I'm not sure which one it was. It looks like it might be Arial Bold, but it's probably a different one. Whatever it is, it's good. Secondly, you or whoever did this knows enough about typography so that you didn't put too many words in.
Right.
Fourth big reason to come, that's five words. The world's most cutting edge, that's five words. Information and ideas, that's three words. The third thing is you need a divider. Just like you're breaking this this call into tracks,
right,
you're breaking the sales letter into tracks. You're making it in smaller chunks in logical order and having the big red banner. It looks a lot like a bumper sticker,
which is
a good thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, I think there'd be a little bit too many. I've seen bumper stickers with more words on them. That could work as a bumper sticker. So, no, it in this particular application, it's okay because it's sort of like a clearing the palette between one course and another.
Thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you. Well, that's good to know. And then in that, we can make this kind of the final question because I know that this is. We're almost, if you will, leaving a cliffhanger for your discussion. I know that you've really identified three major elements in your copy to constantly be focusing on, and we did talk about one of those, which was the headline. And
yes.
In this particular area, there are some bullets here, and I know that's one of your others, and then you have yet a third that I'm sure you will expound upon even more at the event.
Yes.
We used some of your bullet templates here.
Oh, good.
And my only question to you is, it's kind of the paraphrase of the long copy. You know, too many bullets? Can there ever be too many bullets?
Well, the stock answer to can there ever be too many bullets is no. You can't have too many bullets. You can only have boring bullets. Or bullets that run on boring. I mean, the great thing about these bullets is something that comes before the writing, that good copywriters and good marketers who learn to write copy, even though they're not,
right,
you know, mainly copywriters, know how to do, and others don't. And that is that you really know your market. You really know your customers. You really know, you've probably done so many of these events and talked to so many people that they come up to you and you almost know their first five questions are, Polly, how do I create a web page? Polly, how do I choose the right products? Polly, how do I take my offline business and my bricks and mortar business and make an internet business? How do I sell both physical and info products? How do I open up new markets? Those may not be exactly in that order, but you sit down with someone for half an hour and those questions in about those words are about to come up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so for you to design a program that answers those questions, and, you know, with speakers and other aspects of the program that will answer those questions, and then to put them in bullets is absolutely brilliant. That's why you've got a sold-out seminar. You really know your market, and you're offering people something at an extremely good price. This is what I wanted to say before.
Yes.
Your offer, what you put in there, what you put together for people, it's irresistible for the right person, and it's la-di-da, I don't really care for the person that either is way beyond this, although I can't imagine anyone being way beyond this, or is not really interested. They'd much rather talk about how bad the world is or how they're stuck in their job.
And need not apply.
That's right, exactly.
Well, very good. And, David, I think that you mentioned a couple examples while you were going, but allow the final one, of that being professional endorsement, to say that it is certainly my conviction that you are the world's greatest copywriting instructor. You know, I have been I don't hold myself out as a copywriter. I don't try to make any business as a copywriter, but invariably in some consulting arrangements, I've had to give people copy criticisms and watch their web page by just one or two simple suggestions. Increase conversion 100%, 200-300% more with just some very simple things, many of which I certainly did learn from you. But on this call itself, I learned things from you, and people look to me for that same information. So kudos to you. I metaphorically lay my hands on you and endorse that distinction.
Oh, thank you. I take that seriously, and I appreciate it.
And thank you, everyone, for listening all this time. We do not take your time for granted and really do hope. And feel free to even type into the box some benefits or ahas that you received, because I read every one of those boxes. I want you to know that. Thank you, David, and have a great call with your mentees.
Thanks, and I will see you at the event in about a month.
Bye for now, everyone.
Okay, bye.